There's lots to pray for. Let's pray for all the folks on the prayer list. Pray for Tom Milstead and his wife's name. Susanna, that's it. Pray for Tom and Susanna. Also pray for our sister Leah. Her surgery wasn't as long as they thought, and she got out about 4:30 and about 6 hours of surgery. She's in a lot of pain tonight. I want you to pray for her. Pray for her mama. We are glad that Angie was able to get to the hospital, be with her tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk. And you said, I don't know, where is that? Well, just go to the book of Nahum and take a right. The book of Habakkuk. This is a great passage of scripture. Now, what I'm going to do tonight, actually, is deal with all three chapters. I won't do it all verse by verse, though I'll give you a lot of verses tonight. But what I'm going to do, though, I want you to go to the end of the book. Go to the very end, verse 17, 18, and 19. I want to read that to you. Praise God. And then give you a thought tonight. And then we're going to bounce. Then what I want you to do, just go back to chapter 1. And let's just go to chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. And I got three truths from chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Number three, and I think it'll help you tonight. I want y'all all to know, let your heart not be troubled. We're on the winning side. By the way, I personally believe the end of all things are at hand. Amen. I believe Jesus is coming. I wouldn't be surprised if he just say, come up hither right now, be all right with me. Somebody say amen, I'll be glad for it. Amen. Don't get gloomy. I'm glad some of you testified. Rejoice. Hey, don't get gloomy over no election. That's the last thing you want. Hey, by the way, God will put in who he wants in. And he's going to do his will anyway, whether we like it or not. Amen. I believe that. But look, I'll give you a great portion of scripture. You ought to just get excited. Will you stand with your Bibles open? I want to read this portion. I'll do a lot of teaching tonight and preaching together. I want to give you something tonight. I've got an overriding theme of these three chapters. I'll share that with you in just a moment. But I want to read the last three verses. Habakkuk is concluding his book. And here's what he says. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. Sounds gloomy, doesn't it? And there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now notice his attitude. Yet, oh, man. And you ought to, woo, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he shall make me or make my feet like hinds' feet, and he shall make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my string instruments. Our Father, thank you for your word tonight. I believe what I'll be preaching is so relevant to the times. And it's so helpful. And God, I ask you to bless me now. Just unfold these chapters to me. Just make me so aware of what I'm preaching and help the people be aware and connected to what I'm preaching. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You folks on live stream, I wish you would share this with your neighbor. If you're in the church tonight and you're listening to it after church, share it if you would. And I'm going to give you a thought tonight. Here's my thought. How to stay together when the world's falling apart.
Amen.
So Sound good? How to stay together when the world's falling apart. Let's just be quite honest with you. The world is falling apart. We can't even do an election. I mean, we can't even get that right. Our world is falling apart. There's an elite group trying to rule our world. And by the way, they're just fulfilling the plan of God. They're falling right. Hey, they're pawns in God's hand. I'm just going to tell you all that right now. They ain't getting nothing over on God. But I want to preach tonight on how to stay together when your world is falling apart. There might be people in the church tonight unrelated to any ignorant lection. Just your life's falling apart. Your world is falling apart. Things are in your life are so confusing tonight, and you're having a hard time getting a grip on how to even function. But I'm glad the Word of God is true. Somebody say amen. And I want you to know something. As children of God, we can stay together while the world's falling apart. Now, let me give you three thoughts. Now, I hope y'all follow. Do you have your Bible open there? How many raise your hand and say your Bible's open there, please? And if you don't have a Bible, get a cell phone and do it on that. Amen? But I'll give you a, Michael, I'm just doing an exposition tonight. Chapter 1. If you want to label chapter 1, it's point number 1. And in chapter 1, in its context, we see a perplexing problem. A perplexing problem. How many of you have ever been perplexed? How many have ever been like this? You're confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Just perplexed. Don't know what to do. Don't know exactly how to function. And you're perplexed. This man Habakkuk, I want you to know, was perplexed. And I want you to, boy, this, and I want you to know something. In the first chapter, him and God, or more him than God, he was giving God a hard time. He was accusing God of a few things. He was, now don't you look at me and say, well, I never do that. Don't you lie. Don't you tell me you ain't never questioned God. Don't tell me that you never said why. Don't tell me why that you've never in your life ever kind of in your mind or in your heart or in your lips kind of make an accusation to God. Don't you say you ain't never done that, because you just lied. Because we all have one way or another. By just simply questioning his will, we are doing that. I mean, I had 20 people call me this week and said, what went wrong? That's what happened today. I had 20 people call me and said, what went wrong? You know what I said? Nothing. Right. Nothing. Amen. When you think about it, nothing. Amen. Now, it may not went my way, but it ain't went wrong. Because see, if my God's on the throne, and he sets up kings and sets down kings and raises up kings, then ain't nothing wrong. See, what we try to do is explain the unexplainable. And we forget there is a sovereign hand that's behind everything. And that everything's fulfilling the will of God and the plan of God. And we're getting ready to go to the house, and that really wouldn't be so bad. Now stay with me. I want to show you how Habakkuk, look what he said. I want y'all to follow me now. Look at verse number 2. You know what he said about God? He said in verse number 2, God, you seem indifferent to our problem. God, you seem indifferent. Look at it. I want you to follow this tonight, because time I get to the end, you'll be shouting if you got to shout with you. Look at verse number 2, chapter number 1. Look what he said. How long, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Now here's what he's saying. God, this whole world, the Babylonians are coming and judging us. They're wicked, mean, foul people. And how long are you going to put up with this? It seems like you're indifferent. That's what he said. You read it. Read all of it. He said, God, you're indifferent to us. You're allowing all this mischief. You're allowing all this crime. You're allowing all this rape. You're allowing all this mess in our world. What are you doing? Why does it seem that you're indifferent to us? Ever been there? When you thought, why are you seemingly indifferent to me? Why are you allowing this to happen in my life? Why has cancer came? Why do I have enemies? Why is it seems like the liberal crowd and the socialists and the Marxists are having their way? Why in the world is it? It seems like you're indifferent to us. And he's making accusation to God. And I want you to know something. There's times that we make that same accusation. We think he's indifferent to us because things bad has happened in our life, and we wonder why this stuff has happened in our life, and we wonder why God allows it in our life and why he ain't doing something about it and cleaning up the mess right now. That's what Habakkuk was saying. Whew. Let me show you something. Look what he said, verse 2. Look at it. Oh, man, this is good preaching. Oh, Lord, how long? How long shall I cry? How many of y'all notice he mentioned the word cry twice? Twice. Now, unless you do a word study, Chad, you're going to think the word cry there is the same word. But the second word is not the same word for the first cry. Hello? The word cry, the first statement, is him saying, it was a plea for help. God, help me. The second cry is a different Hebrew word altogether. And it means to shout or scream. And what he was saying, God, are you deaf? Hear me! Hear me! Aren't you listening to me? Don't you know what's going on in my life? God! He's screaming. He's screaming. Literally screaming. And boy, I just busted something in there. He's screaming. First he asked for a plea of help, then he just looked at Brother Winkler and just screamed to God. God, how long? You know why he did that? You know why he did it, Michael? Because he actually thought God was indifferent to him. Then secondly, now let me say this. He almost got angry at God. Oh, I think he did. No, ain't nobody in here like that, are you? Without raising your hand, anybody in here ever been mad at God? Death come to one of your family and you don't understand why it happened? You lost a job? Your whole life's been wrapped up in something and it all fell apart? And you wonder why God seems indifferent? And you're about half angry. And by the way, the wrong person to blame is God. But in our soul, we do it. But secondly, are y'all still with me here? I'm going to give you some good stuff, Chad. Look at verse number 3. He's going to further his perplexing problem. Not only is he going to accuse God of being indifferent, he's going to go farther than that. In verse number 3, look at it. He's going to say, God, you seem inactive. What I mean is, why aren't you call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Seeking you shall find, knocking will be open. Got me? I mean, he's praying. And then secondly, he said, God, it seems like you're inactive. You're not on the job. Look at verse 3. Why doest thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me. And there are that raise up strife and contention. Verse 4, therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth not never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. He said, God, why are you letting sin and spoiling and a mess happen? And why aren't you being active? Why aren't you actively taking my place? Where are you? You say, I ain't never done that. Liar. Don't tell me you've never been in a situation that you were agonizing in prayer and wondering why all these people are getting away with their sin and acting like a bunch of idiots, and why violence is going on and why he ain't done nothing yet. Whew, quiet in here. By the way, Jeremiah was a contemporary of Habakkuk, and he said this in Jeremiah 8:12, were they not ashamed when they committed abomination? No, and they didn't even blush. How many believe there's things going on in our country right now, and they're not even blushing about it? I mean, look at the homosexual community and their perversion and their abomination, and look how wicked they are. They're not even blushing. Before this election's over, you're going to probably find out there was corruption everywhere. And they'll do it and not even blush. I mean, who shuts an election down in Mendel County? Somebody help me preach. Listen to this. There's 700,000 teenagers tonight, adolescents, that are alcoholic in our country. There's a burglary happens every 10 seconds in the teen world. There's 6,000 robberies committed by teenagers every day. 9,000 rapes in the public school. What are you saying, preacher? Here's what he was saying. All this wickedness is going on. God, where are you? Why is it that you're inactive? Let me ask you something. Come on. Anybody in here ever felt that way? That he's inactive? It seems like you get messed over and violence is everywhere. And don't seem like he's doing anything. That's what Habakkuk was accusing him of. Now, I'm not accusing him of that. I'm telling you what he was accusing him of. But I'm sure some of you have done that. Don't tell me you haven't got aggravated and wondered why help ain't been on the way sooner. Come on now. I've had some situations in my life, in my Christian life, that I actually was absolutely on the right side of the issue, but I got messed over. And Ellie, I went in this, I thought, where are you at, God? Then I was thinking, why are you inactive? I thought you loved me. I thought if I called you, you're going to answer it. And I thought, you know, help me. Come on, am I preaching? Yep. It's right there, Joe. So what he was saying to God, hey God, you seem inactive. Boy, that ain't all he did. Look at verse 12. Chad, you ever seen this? Isn't this good? He's not only accused God of being somewhat indifferent and then accuse God of being somewhat inactive, then look what he does in verse 12. Y'all there? Chapter 1. He said, God, not only are you only indifferent and you seem inactive, but you seem inconsistent. Oh boy. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. God, you're inconsistent. That's what Habakkuk said. Look at verse 12. How many there? Stay with me. I'm going somewhere that's going to be good in a minute. Look what he said in verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting? Oh my God, mine Holy One. We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously and holdeth thy tongue? When the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he? How many knows that there? Oh, yeah. Here's what he's saying. Let me say it. God, Israel's bad, but they ain't near as bad as the Babylonians. God, we're bad, but we ain't bad as the Chinese and the Russians. And don't we get like that sometimes? Oh, yes, we do. God, I ain't real good, but I ain't near as bad as that other guy. And we look at that other guy and we say, no, how wicked he is. And we look at ourselves and say, well, I ain't real good, but my God, I ain't that. And why aren't you dealing with him instead of dealing with me? And whereas God really sent them to deal with them. God was behind the whole thing for the Babylonians and Chaldeans to go and attack them. God was in all of that. And sometimes God uses evil people to get to us. Don't you tell me you ain't had some evil people come your way. But aren't you glad? In all of it, we might not see the whole thing, but God's in control. How many's liking this? Am I all right? I must go on because, Chad, the class will not be happy if I don't get to the next 2 points. Now, okay, put chapter 1, put in your notes, a perplexing problem. Now go to chapter 2. And here's what I want you to put over chapter 2. A proper perspective. Now listen here. Let me read chapter 2, verse 1. If you're all there, say amen. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch and see what he shall say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Now here's what he stops doing, Colton. He stops shouting at God and starts listening to God. And really, sometimes God allows all the mess to get you to shut your mouth and listen to me. I know a lot of people, they run their jaws constantly, and the reason they don't get any help from God, they're too busy telling God his business. And when God really wants you to get into a quiet place, a high tower, and listen instead of ask and shout and accuse. Good preaching, Reverend. Amen. Quit saying it ain't fair, and life ain't always fair. Just get somewhere alone, away from the noise, where you can get in the tower and listen to God. See, when you do, here's what's going to happen, Chad. You're going to get a proper perspective instead of Amy it being a perplexing problem, you'll start seeing it as God sees it. How many think we'd be a lot better off if we see things the way God sees them? Now look at verse number 2. Let me give you point number 1 under this proper perspective. First of all, the reliability of the scripture. I want all y'all to know something. Reading this Bible is how you get God to talk to you. How many know that? Then if you know that, why didn't you read it today? Why haven't you been in it? Why haven't you let him talk to you and then you talk back to him and pray? Because that's how we communicate with God. We read this, that's him talking to me. Then we, with our lips, talk to him. And that's how you and I and have communication with God. Look at verse number 2, the reliability of the scripture, proper perspective. And the Lord answered me. Thank God, but now he's getting ready to answer now. He said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. How many got that? Let me read that one more time. I don't think you got it. He said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. Somebody say amen. See, Michael, I know you like, Chad, do you like Tozer? F.B. Meyer? How many likes F.B. Meyer? Anybody read after F.B. Meyer? Can I tell you what F.B. Meyer said about this? Whew. How many of y'all believe God's word is reliable? F.B. Meyer said this, and I love it. If any promise of God should fail, the heavens would clothe themselves with sackcloth. The sun and the moon and the stars would reel from their courses. The universe would rock, and a hollow wind would moan through a ruined creation the awful message of God, that God can lie. I want all y'all to know something. God ain't never lied. He ain't never lied. Don't you tell me he's lied to you. Don't you tell me. Now, you may have lied to him, but he ain't ever lied to you. Good preaching, Reverend. Look what he goes on to say. In verse 2:5, he said, woe unto him. What God was saying to him is, I'm going to bring judgment unto them. Woe unto them. Amen. Then in verse 6, he spoke of their dishonesty. Verse 12, he spoke of violence. Verse 15, talked about their immorality. And what God said is, I know their sin. Don't think folks are getting away with something. God knows their sin. And here's what he's saying to Habakkuk. Second point. The retribution of the sinner. Hey, Habakkuk, God's going to punish sin. Now, I want y'all to know something. Oh, I know I'm on tape, but who cares right now? If God doesn't judge this country, he'll almost have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. But he is going to judge this country. See, there is going to be a retribution. See, Habakkuk, you've been complaining about this whole time. Now listen to me, Habakkuk. I'm going to deal with them. I'm just using them to deal with you to get your attention. And then I'm going to deal with them. And I want y'all to know judgment's coming. How many of y'all believe that? I just want you to know there's a lot of people think they've got away with stuff that actually hadn't. And God don't judge them. I've seen him do it. I've seen people threw their bony fists up to God like they were somebody. And, hey, I got a God can flatten you and flatten me. Oh, he's a loving God. He's a kind God. But he also is a God of justice. And he is going to judge the Chaldeans. And he is going to judge the Babylonians. And they're not going to get away with what they've been doing. But it's going to be in my time. And you just need to wait on it. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. You know what your problem is? You ain't got an ounce of weight in you. That's right. Outfit. We don't have an ounce of weight in us. We think we got to go ahead of it. And we wonder why all them people are getting away with what they're getting away with. I want you to know God said, I'm going to bring retribution to them. Oh, yeah. I've seen it firsthand, Brother Mary. I've seen some people wrong God's work, wrong God's people. Oh, it seemed like they got along pretty good for a while. Then everything went chaotic. And they're a mess now. Because see, what happened is they got into a whirlwind. They messed with the wrong people and they messed with the wrong God. And I got a God. He's telling Habakkuk, now you're listening to me. Will you listen to me? I am going to bring retribution to that wickedness. Amen. Aren't you, can I say something? I think it is too. Can I say this? I know right now some of you are thinking, man, there's a lot of people doing a lot of bad stuff in our country. And they are. But please don't misunderstand me. They're going to have retribution. God is going to judge them. And they may get what they want, but not get like what they get. Am I preaching? Amen. Then look what he said to him. Boy, this is all in this one chapter. I'm hurrying. But I'll give you one more point here. The retribution of the sinner, but also the reign of the Savior. Verse 14, chapter 2. Look what he says. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woo! He's coming back. That's why we pray the model prayer, Thy kingdom come. One of these days, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to rule the mess. We're going to rule the masses. We're going to rule in the millennial. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. We're going to be in charge. Somebody, y'all don't even got that. See, here's our problem. We don't have a proper perspective. See, Mike, we got to get a proper perspective. It seems like it's chaotic, but God is going to bring retribution. And God's going to reign one day, and we're going to reign with him. And we're going to be in full knowledge, and we're going to understand everything that went on that we didn't understand before. Praise the Lord. We'll understand it all. Now, how many are like me? You'd like to know now. Wouldn't you, Diane? I like to, would you let me in on it right now? I know you're coming again. I know I'm going to have full knowledge, and I know everything's going to be fine, but let me in on it right now. But it's coming. Oh, it's coming. Oh, it's coming. He's going to right every wrong. He everything that has ever been done wrong, he's going to right. Every aborted baby that they thought they made perish. He is going to resurrect them. You said, well, Wolf, they were only 18 days old. Don't matter. God's got how they was going to be written in the book. God knows exactly how they're going to be fashioned, and he'll make them that way.
Yeah.
see what it is. We can't see it now, and we don't understand it all now. But I want you to know there will be a day when we'll be ushered into a millennial kingdom, when all knowledge will be revealed to us, and we'll rule and reign with him because we'll have his wisdom and we'll have his knowledge. How many starting to like this book after all? Now, let me finish. Go to chapter 3. Chapter 1, the perplexing problem. Chapter 2, the proper perspective. Now listen to this. Look where Habakkuk went from. Let me show you where he went. Let me explain. God, I'm mad at you. Why ain't you getting this done? Why is all this happening? God, God. And he screams at God. Right? Because of his perplexing problem, he screams to God. And because, then God showed him a proper perspective, but now he's going to get into some thin air. How many like it when you get into thin air? How many like it when you start seeing things the way God wants you to see them? And then I say profound praise, chapter 3. See, what chapter 3 does, it comes to the pinnacle of praise. Now, let me read verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Chiganoth. Now, how many of y'all know what Chiganoth is? Raise your hand if you know. One. Anybody else? All right. I'll see if you know. Actually, it has two meanings, but let me give you the first. First of all, Chiganoth means a musical instrument. But actually, in this text and context, it's like when y'all were playing up there a little bit ago and getting into it real good, you were really showing deep feeling. It's like a song, Chiganoth, or an instrument, and you get that deep feeling from it. Whew. You know, Lord God. Oh, I'm coming, son. Don't worry about that. What he's saying is there's a wellspring of joy and praise getting to burst loose in my heart. Since I've seen the proper perspective, I can come to a place of profound praise. Now you say, Preacher Smith, what was his praise? Michael, catch this. What was his praise rooted in? It was rooted in revelation. Now notice something. We'll teach you some more here. Look at it. Look at verse number 3 with me. Look at this revelation. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. Notice the word, Selah. Now, do you know in this context of Selah? Now, there's a proper name called Selah in another passage. But in this word Selah, it's only mentioned in two books of the Bible. Of course, you knew the first one, Psalms. You probably didn't know it was in Habakkuk. It was the only other time. Now, there's a Selah mentioned in Kings, but it's, again, talking about a person or a place. Somebody help me preach. See, get this. I'm done. I'm almost done. It's not about what God is doing. It should rather be about who God is. If Craig, we could get to the place in our life, it isn't about all the functioning of God. Because see, if we get to the place of who he is, whew, somebody help me. We'll get to a pinnacle of worship. And it's rooted in revelation of who he is. He's El Shaddai. He's the many-breasted one. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's the one that fights our battles. He uses that word again. And really, here's what he's saying when he's in verse 13. Just pause and think about it. It's like getting a musical instrument, Chad, and Ray, you know this, or psalm, and you go through it, and you know you've done this. I've heard you do it in your, over in your office. You'll go through a song, and then you'll pause, and then you hit it again. Have you ever done that? Sure you have. And what you're actually doing, Chad, when you've done that, you were just stopping and pausing and thinking about it. You know what you ought to do? Somebody help me preach here. We ought to pause for a minute and stop all this clamoring that's going on and pause and think about him, who he is, and come to a place of worship. And by the way, in verse 16, not only is it rooted in revelation, it's rooted in revelation. We'll have profound praise, Mike, when it's rooted in revelation. I'm not talking about ginned up worship. I'm not talking about manipulated worship. I'm not talking about somebody jazzing something up. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking to when you come to a place in your worship, it ain't about what he's doing, but it's about what who he is. Then verse 16, he recognizes reality. I'm almost done. When I heard, look what he said. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with troops. He said, I'm about half scared. And he said, my belly's trembling. How many's ever got there? Where you just trembled. You ever got it? Your lips trembled, your belly trembled, you just shook. Whew. Then lastly, look at verse 17, 18. I'm close. The results in worship. Verse 17. Look at the verse 17. Have we ever got here in our Christian life? Although the fig tree shall not blossom, that's when it's barren. And neither shall the fruit be on the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Kind of bleak, isn't it? But look what he says. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Woo! Huh? I will joy in the God of my salvation. You said this in your passage. The Lord God is our strength. See, here's something I want to give you. I wrote this down. My standard of living may change, but my standard of life never changes. When I'm rooted in a revelation, when I'm rooted in him. And look what he says. I like this. How many feel like sometimes you're slipping around this world? Come on. How many of you, sometimes you feel like you go from one failure to another one? You're down and then you're up and then you're down and you're up. You know why you like that? Because you don't have sure footing. How many deer hunters here? Raise your hand. Come on. Look what it says. The Lord God is my strength, and he shall make my feet like hind's feet, and he shall make me to walk upon my high places. I was deer hunting three years ago, and I want you to know something. I am the worst deer hunter in the world. Can I shoot? I don't like shooting. I'm nervous. I can bow hunt better than I can gun hunt because that pop scares me. So I'm out in my stand, and here come a 8-9 point buck. Man, I'm going to tell you something. The heart was... and It come up out of a flat, up toward the feeder. And I turned around to shoot it, Brian. And my gun kind of smacked on the blind. You know what that deer did? I'm telling you, there was a 15-foot embankment. And that sucker, them feet, Mally, it took one hop, and it's up. And all I'm seeing is tail the rest of the way going down the road. And I thought, then I went to Habakkuk, and God said, I'll give you hinds feet. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an ability to leap up to high places. When you feel like you're the lowest you can be, I'm going to give you the ability to have spring in your legs to get up into another atmosphere and meet my presence and feel my joy and realize my kindness. Oh, dear God. Let me ask you something. Do you know what to do tonight when your world seems like it's falling apart? Stand with me. How many tonight say, Preacher Smith, remember me in prayer. I've got a lot of stuff going on in my life, and I want prayer. Raise it up. And if you're here and you'd just like to come and pray, you can. You don't have to. Father, thank you for the moments we've had with our people. Some instructional time around the Word. Boy, Lord, thank you for what you give me tonight. Bless your people tonight. In Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. If you want to join Joe, come on and pray.